don't you think? Yesterday, Baptists from all over the place gathered together in Oxford for the Baptist Assembly. I wasn't there, but I imagine that as everybody gathered together and did that natural, so what have you been up to in the last year? Well, how's your church going? What? And the inevitable, hello, I'm so-and-so, and what church are you from? All of that would have been going on yesterday, just before the main celebration. Added to all that laughter and the animation of conversation, there would have been a real sense of expectation as to what was about to happen in that assembly. And if we can picture that very English scene, maybe we can imagine what it was like in Jerusalem when Jews from all over the place gathered together to celebrate one of the main three pilgrimages, a mega, mega harvest festival. On that same day, there were a group of believers who separated themselves from all of the hustle and the bustle in the city. They gathered together in a house, because they were waiting for the promised Holy Spirit to come. Now, they didn't know when the Holy Spirit was going to come, and they didn't know how the Holy Spirit was going to come, and they didn't know what the Holy Spirit coming would mean for them. They had no idea how the coming of the Holy Spirit was going to change their lives forever, and actually the lives of every believer from that day to the present and into the future. All they knew was that they had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And so they waited together, all in one place. We don't know how many Jesus followers there were in that place. It's commonly held that there were the 120 that Luke mentions in chapter 1. But whether it was as many as those people or a slightly smaller grouping, for some reason that doesn't seem to be important to Luke. What he wants to emphasize is their oneness. They were all together in one place. They shared a oneness in their experience of Jesus. They shared a oneness in the anticipation of what was to come. And this oneness meant that they'd set themselves apart from everything else that was going on in the city, away from all of this buzz and anticipated excitement. They set themselves apart to wait on and to wait for God. And as they were in a place of oneness with God and with each other, it made them different to the people who were outside of that room. And I want to call the people that were outside of that room the others. And there was something of otherness about those that were not part of the oneness in that room. And I'm sure we get the picture, don't we? Because in many ways, it's no different to our experience today. The worldwide church is called to a oneness with God and with each other. And there may be diversity in the way that we worship and the language that we use. And there may be different emphasis on different aspects of the Bible. But in essence, there is a oneness about those who live lives following Jesus. And therefore, there is an otherness about those who haven't chosen to live in this particular way. Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit came into this place of oneness. However, he makes it totally clear that the coming of the Holy Spirit isn't intended to be confined to that holy space or that holy huddle of people, that oneness in the room. For a start, the noise could be heard both inside and outside of that house. And the noise of the Holy Spirit meant that a crowd gathered around that house. And then we read that as soon as everyone in the room had been filled with the Holy Spirit, they experienced a miraculous phenomenon. And this enabled them to speak in a foreign language that they'd not been to language classes to learn. Imagine that for those in that room, the oneness that I've talked about started to feel a little bit chaotic. Imagine that there was some sense of peace and decorum before the Holy Spirit came that got disrupted. Just a little, as everybody burst forth into a foreign language. But it got the attention of those who were outside of that house. This cosmopolitan Jewish crowd that had gathered around the house, they just couldn't work it out. They couldn't understand how uneducated Galileans could be speaking about the mighty acts of God in so many different languages, including their own mother tongue. And this amazing act of God, I believe, shows us a profoundly important purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and it filled people who were at one with God through Jesus for the purpose of drawing the other towards that same place of oneness, faith in Christ. Luke shows us that how being filled with the Holy Spirit is a missional gift that he gives to all his followers. One of the benefits, one of the purposes, one of the reasons for this gift is for the benefit of others, those who've not yet learned or decided to follow Christ, as well as, of course, for those who have. And this is a really important principle for us to grasp as we gather here today, because we're a community of oneness and we have a responsibility to allow the Holy Spirit to flow and blow through our lives so that we can impact as many communities of otherness that are around us. Now, of course, Luke isn't the only New Testament writer that speaks about the work of the Holy Spirit. In John's Gospel, the Holy Spirit is the advocate, the continuing and comforting presence of Jesus and source of peace. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells us that the Holy Spirit is the one who unites us to Christ and gives us particular gifts to be used within the community that we call church. But Luke, throughout the book of Acts, he emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're left without a shadow of a doubt. The Holy Spirit is the power of God, the mighty burning wind which blows the church into new and unexpected places for mission, for the benefit of those who are not yet in that oneness with Christ. Excuse me, the work of the Holy Spirit was explosive for the early church, and it continues to be explosive for the church today. Now, I do feel that I ought to bring in the subject of fireworks at this point, but I am going to resist. It's amazing how word just jumps out of the page and the thought flicked through my mind just a couple of minutes ago. So, we're not going to go there with fireworks, and I'm going to keep wittering while I find the place in my notes that I've completely lost. The work of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost was explosive. It was dynamite. It changed the face and the life of the church. And as we read about and we reflect on the impact of this Acts 2 story for us today, the Holy Spirit as the power of God, isn't this the most exciting expression of the Holy Spirit's work. Isn't it? That we long for God to move just as powerfully in this place as he did at Pentecost. Now, if you were children, I would ask you to give me an answer. And all of you would be going, yes, Astrid, because we know that's the right answer. But actually, when we talk and we think about the Holy Spirit as the power of God, and we look at this story in Acts, if we're honest, sometimes we have some measure of apprehension or even fear at the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can be afraid to open up ourselves to the Holy Spirit because we're worried that he might not show up. But actually, more often than not, we're a little bit worried that he might. And we're not really quite sure if he shows up what the Holy Spirit might do. It's not unusual for us to be nervous about where the Holy Spirit might take us as a church or as an individual. But what would it look like if the Holy Spirit broke out in us here today? Well, those who were first filled with the Holy Spirit found themselves compelled to step out in faith and talk about Jesus. They found a courage that they hadn't had before. But those who were first filled with the Holy Spirit were also given a new language to speak. It broke with their shared language of oneness, and it became the language of the other. And it may be that we become apprehensive at this point in time, because the language of the other can be quite a challenge to those of us that speak the language of the church. It can be challenging where we're having to move out from a place where we've got a broad understanding of what we mean by salvation and sin and grace. But you know, those who are other in the communities that we mix in, for them, this can be a community that is full of jargon and words that are a completely foreign language. And the only way they can describe it is churchiness. That sometimes can be the language that we as a people of oneness tend to use and speak. The missional response that the Holy Spirit brings about is to meet others where they are, rather than expect an automatic understanding of our place of oneness. Because for so many, this and what we do here on a Sunday really feels like quite an alien space. What would it look like if the Holy Spirit broke out in us today? In Pentecost, those who were empowered with a new foreign language were misunderstood by some. There were those who were amazed at what was going on, but others just thought they'd hit the bottle a little early in the day. And we can be cautious about letting the Holy Spirit blow through our lives because we're worried about what others might think of us and what the work of the Holy Spirit in us might do to our reputation. So the challenge is, what do we make of churches that place a high emphasis on the signs and the wonders and the work of the Holy Spirit? Do we dismiss or do we embrace the power of God displayed in this way? I faced that decision a number of years ago, many years ago. I was part of a Vineyard House church, and my friend Bev asked the dozen of us who had gathered together to pray for her because she was experiencing some ongoing stomach problems. As people prayed, Bev started to make some very strange noises, and I wasn't quite sure whether she was going to be sick or whether something else horrible was going to go on. And I became more and more concerned at this strange moaning and this strange groaning that was being expressed. Was this God or was it something else? And I was really confused at what I was seeing. And I then got extremely concerned as to what I'd got myself into. But you know, as I stood, at least physically, in this circle of people around my friend Bev, I became acutely aware of the oneness of those who were praying for the power of God to come and change my friend Bev's life, to take away these stomach pains. And I became more and more aware of me becoming the other in that room. The person who, instead of praying for the powerful work of the Holy Spirit to come, I was the one just watching on. And just as every Jew in the city of Jerusalem who saw the miraculous power of God at work were faced with a major decision, in that place, in that space, in the lounge of my friends, I was faced with that same decision. Would I join in or would I choose to walk away? In the end, I just decided that I didn't want to be the weak link. There was nothing terribly spiritual about my decision. So I went with the flow and I joined in with this very unusual form, well, unusual for me, form of prayer. And I don't know what the Holy Spirit was doing. And I still to this day don't know fully what was going on. But I do know the pains in my friend's stomach went away. And for me, it was one of a number of experiences which just started to develop my greater faith and openness to the work of the Holy Spirit in my life and in churches and communities. I'm so grateful that in that moment of adopting a posture of oneness with God and the other believers in that room, that became more important than my personal preferences, my understanding, or my comfort at what was going on. And we cannot avoid the fact that when God and the Holy Spirit blows through our lives, sometimes God does the most surprising things. And sometimes he does what we might describe really quite disruptive. But whatever he does, whenever the Holy Spirit blows through our lives, it is always a transformational thing with a mission perspective and a mission potential, as we've seen in this Bible reading today. You'd be disappointed if I didn't have some kind of practical illustration, I'm sure. And you might be disappointed if there wasn't an opportunity for response. And again, I'm going to resist the illustration of fireworks as being indicative of what the Holy Spirit could do. That would be corny, but it is something corny that I want to show you. I won't become a comedian. I won't give up my day job. What I've got in this bowl are popcorn kernels. Plain and simple popcorn kernels. And for those of you that make popcorn, you know that when you put this in a popcorn maker or you put it into your microwave and the power through heat works on these popcorn kernels, they are transformed. They're transformed into something totally and utterly wonderful. Believe me, they're absolutely great. The kernels represent the disciples hidden away and waiting. And you know, these kernels can actually represent us as well. We think we're something very ordinary, And we think that we're something that is quite unexceptional. Like the disciples, like these colonels, we can just be sitting, waiting for something to happen upon our lives. When the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they preached their socks off. And 3,000 people came to faith. Don't we want the work of the Holy Spirit to blow through our lives and to blow through our communities today? When the Holy Spirit blows through our lives, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. And as the Holy Spirit works on us and within us, we start to fulfill our missional purposes and we can start to do great things. Sometimes the transformational work of the Holy Spirit is healing. Sometimes it is something physical that goes on. Sometimes it's something emotional that gets healed within us. Sometimes it is that spiritual healing. There is that coming to or coming into a new place of faith. Sometimes the transformational work of the Holy Spirit is repairing brokenness in ourselves, in relationships, in wider community life. Sometimes the transformational work of the Holy Spirit is releasing something new. Maybe it needs to break down the barriers within us that hold us back before something new can be birthed. Sometimes the transformational work of the Holy Spirit is renewing something that has become old or stayed, tired or stale. When popcorn kernels are exposed to heat, they pop. And as they pop into a transformed state, they move. I'm not going to throw it all over the floor because these are slightly buttery and it'll make a mess. I've got that in my kitchen to clear up when I get back home. When the Holy Spirit works on our lives, we also become transformed. And as we become transformed, we also are encouraged to move. Maybe to move into a new place of courage, maybe to move into a new form of language, you know, a barrier of some sort coming down. Maybe we're moved to share more and more of what Jesus has done in our lives and share something of the possibility and the potential of what Jesus can do in the life of the other. So aren't we a people today who want the power of the Holy Spirit to come and blow through us in this place of oneness so that we can move into the places of otherness? People that we care about in our communities so that they come into a place of oneness with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Don't we want that transformation in our lives and the lives of those around us, in our church and in the churches around this space? So this morning, quite simply, as maybe you would expect, I'm going to invite you to come forward. And if you'd like to, just take a small handful of popcorn. You don't have to eat it if you don't like it. But if you like it, I'll suggest you to eat it, maybe from that bowl, because I've not handled that one quite so much. But just come as a response. Take a handful of popcorn, and we'll just hold it before the Lord, and we will ask him to blow his Holy Spirit through this place, into the places of our lives where we need his renewing or his restoring, or his healing, or his encouraging, or his empowering, or his anything-ing that you know you'd like him to do in your life. So I'm going to leave the bowls here and would encourage you to come and take some popcorn just as an illustration of your openness to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. As we come and we take a handful and we hold it and we reflect before God, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit moves us physically. Sometimes tears flow, and that can be healing work that God is doing in our lives. And if anybody around you starts to weep, can I ask you just to leave them be? Let the Holy Spirit do their work. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to actually bubble up a sense of joy in us. If somebody starts to uncontrollably giggle in the chair that is next to you, would you just let them be and celebrate there is something of the joy of God bubbling up in them? If somebody sits quietly or kneels or stands in a posture of absolute peace, would you let them be? Because often that also is the work of the Holy Spirit, quietly and internally doing his work. So come, don't be afraid. I encourage you to come and take a piece of, or a small handful of popcorn, and we'll just spend a few moments praying and releasing the work of the Holy Spirit in us today. So maybe it's easier to come forward if we stand up to begin with. I always want to make this easy because this can feel quite hard. So let's stand together. Come forward if you'd like to. I'll pray and then the band will come and lead us in our final worship song.